Why is Heritage Radio Network important to you?
HRN is very nostalgic to go into because it's really the only place that you have this really warm, homey experience to watch people get together and talk about the things that really make a difference.
It's really fun when I ask guests, do you want to be on Heritage? And they're like, at Roberta's? Yes, 100%.
I believe that we all are really trying to bring people together.
All right.
I think
Hello.
Getting
this
more
Lisa
people
Held,
excited about good local, well-crafted food and away from big ag
and listening to the farm
tasteless
report.
Commodity food is so important.
About the people,
it's kind of an honor to be sitting there with somebody in a space where so many other people have sat.
Today.
Join HRN's
so
vibrant community
guest,
of thoughtful eaters.
I wanted
become a member today.
First of all,
go to heritageradionetwork.org/2019.
So we will be taking a break for a few weeks and we'll be back on the air the week of January 13th. So in the meantime, I hope you all enjoy the holidays and we'll see you in 2020. I also wanted to quickly bring up the fact that I saw a film last night, Dark Waters, which is a true story of a lawyer who uncovers illegal dumping of chemicals near a farm in West Virginia. And I've never done this before. I've never brought up a movie on the Farm Report, but it kind of blew my mind. And it's not about farming per se, but it is about one of the biggest agricultural chemical companies, Dow DuPont, which actually earlier this year, they split off their agriculture divisions. It's now called Corteva, but it's all part of the same system. These big chemical companies that make pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, and the movie is about these chemicals, PFOA, PFAS. It's going to be an ongoing issue. It's a really disturbing movie, but it's really, really worth seeing. So I just wanted to put that out there for anyone who's interested in the food system and the companies that control a lot of the farm system. It's definitely worth going to see. Okay, so enough about chemicals. My guest today is Chris D'Amico. He's the creator of Farmed, a platform that connects chefs to local farms in and around Atlanta, Georgia. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So you are based in Atlanta, is that right?
Yes. Currently, Metro Atlanta is our focus.
Got it. And what's your background? Are you a chef? Like, how did Farmed come to be?
I wish I was. I was in the restaurant industry, running and operating restaurants here in Metro Atlanta. Just trying to source local food is really hard.
Right.
Our customers want local food, the trend in restaurant is local food. National Restaurant Association this year was their number one stat. Consumers would choose an establishment that sources locally over one that doesn't. And so, as you really start to look at this, you're trying to figure out, well, wait a minute, I'm in a city like Metro Atlanta. We have an abundance of agriculture within 3 hours of us, but I have no access to it, and I can't get to it in any scalable way. And so I started talking to friends of mine, some business partners that have been in the agriculture business on the farming side for, decades, family generational farms, and, found the farmers were frustrated, as much as I was. So, when you've got a supply and demand that want to get to each other and somehow there's a problem, right? Why are we not being able to communicate and work together to both buy that local food and then on the farmer side be able to sell it, which is going to be higher margin for them, branding for them, all the benefits that farmers get from representing their own brands versus going through wholesalers. So that's really how it started, and this platform was the solution, a marketplace that manages sales and logistics for farmers to be able to do that.
Right. When did it actually launch?
So we're in our 23rd month.
Okay.
So early 2018.
Got it. So, and when you say, you know, you wanted to source local food, but you couldn't get to it, what were some of the barriers that were standing in your way? Like, why couldn't you get to it?
Well, kind of twofold. I think the first thing is, you know, the local food ecosystem already exists. It's been around for thousands of years, as far as I can tell. It's not something new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most countries still source the food that's closest to them and work their way out. Well, here in the U.S., it's kind of backwards. You know, our average food is traveling over 1,200 miles to get to us.
Right.
And so these local routes really didn't exist. So for us, it was really a logistics problem that needed to be solved.
Mm.
And Farmed is a zero warehouse local food platform. And what we mean by that is, you know, we don't believe that Farm to Table can exist if it's coming from a warehouse.
Okay.
We think Farm to Table should be represented for what it is, which is food coming directly from a farm or a farmer's market in some cases. So typically chefs, you know, who do want to source local food, are either working with farmers independently, which is not really scalable, is unreliable. And then on the farm side, you know, farms that are working with restaurants specifically directly, you know, end up spending all their time chasing money and collecting checks and doing deliveries, and then no time left to actually do the farming. So that's the problem that we set out to solve.
Right. So if there's no warehouse, what does the actual supply chain look like? Like, how does the food get from mm-hmm. farm to restaurant?
So we pick it up every morning at the farms and we deliver it right to the restaurants. So every day, you know, we're picking up from a different number of farms and we're dropping in a different number of customers. And, you know, the farm is the warehouse.
Right.
I think is the key. And so, you know, if you want the freshest, fastest, safest food, buy it direct from a farm and have it delivered, you know, within hours of either, you know, being processed or, you know, even being harvested.
Right. So a lot of what you do is trucking, really, right? Like,
yeah, well, I mean, logistics is a big piece of the platform. I mean, that's the big barrier. You know, big warehouses and trucks that you see that dominate, you know, predominantly the majority of the food system, you know, that's what it's for. It's for high volume.
Mm-hmm.
Local food doesn't do well in high volume situations where, you know, I've got to go through brokers and wholesalers to try to get my product to market. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to sell you 2 18-wheelers full of food. I don't have that type of capacity.
Right.
So I'm kind of cut out of that system, right? And it's a very contract-based system.
Right.
Big contracts. And so the spot market, the cash market for farmers doesn't exist anymore. But that is how it's been done for centuries, right?
Yeah.
Farmers would show up in the city center and they would sell their goods to, you know, and let the market dictate, you know, pricing and what have you. So it's really bringing the, you know, the cash marketplace back to, you know, where it was originally, and being able to do that in a scalable and, you know, repeatable way is what we're focused on.
Right. So how many farmers are you working with at this point?
We've got about 85 farmers. Okay. All are going to be within about 3 hours of Metro Atlanta currently.
And how are you recruiting them? Like, how did that process work, especially when you were first getting up and running?
You know, we started, we're pretty ingrained in the restaurant community here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking to other restaurant owners and chefs, our chef community, we started with the farms that they were already working with, you know, who found great value in, yeah, I don't want to be in the delivery business and don't want to be in the accounting business and chasing money. So that's how it started. And then slowly but surely, you know, through referrals, farms, you know, talking to another farmer in our area and saying, hey, have you heard about Farmed? And it just kind of, you know, went from there. But in most cases, you know, I just got off the phone with a local farm up in Charlotte, a chicken poultry farm, and, you know, really want to be able to sell in the Atlanta market. They've got some accounts, but, you know, they don't have representation here. They don't have a last mile logistics solution. They can get to Atlanta, but that's, you know, but then doing that final mile delivery is the barrier. So
right.
When we talk to farmers, again, it's pretty easy value proposition for them. You maintain by selling direct to retail versus wholesale, you're going to earn more money. And, you know, the we don't sell food at farmers do. We're farmer reps. So we're just there to make that connection and help build that relationship and then coordinate the sales and logistics in the background to make that scalable and reliable.
Right. Well, but in a way, though, you are sort of the intermediary, right, between the farmer and the
sure.
restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, but at the same time, you know, we're not buying the food and reselling it.
Right.
Farmers put their product on our market, and if it sells, they get their rate, and then we take a flat rate for the logistics, sales, and a farm fee that's still, you know, putting them in a price competitive position in the market.
Right. Oh, so they list whatever they have available, and can restaurants see directly? Is it an app or like an online?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So can restaurants see
and
directly what's
yep.
available and just order it like right on the app?
Correct.
Okay. So yeah, so you're sort of facilitating a more direct relationship, and then are funding it all by just taking a fee or a cut of the sales.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we're assets over, you know, or access over assets. In other words, so we're a, you know, asset light, really, you know, versus a capital intensive, asset heavy model that you see traditionally, you know, in the food system today. But leveraging technology to be able to streamline these relationships and getting the food from point A to point B is really the key to, I think, you know, unlocking what local has to offer, which is pretty abundant. And that's where the market's moving. You know, people want more transparency in the food system, not less.
Right.
You know, I'm just, somebody just sent me an article. There's three, you know, brand new E. coli outbreaks that they're trying to track today. You know, this is just going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not knowing where that food's coming from makes it really hard for people to trust the food that they're putting in their bodies.
Right.
And so that is a global, not just a trend in here in the U.S., but that is the number one global trend, is transparency in the food supply system. And so to solve that, building a direct food supply chain alleviates, you know, that major problem of knowing where the food's coming from.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So that's really,
yeah, it's interesting that more people haven't done this in different places. I mean, the only other company that I know of that really has done it in a big way is Farms to Tables in New York, in the Hudson Valley, and a lot of restaurants mm-hmm. use them. I mean, when you were like doing research, are there models like this that exist around the country? It's just strange that more people wouldn't take this on and develop these systems locally.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're building a marketplace first, which is really hard.
Mm.
Marketplaces are really hard. We're also managing and taking on the logistics, which is really hard. So
it's a difficult task.
What's that?
It's a difficult business model, so maybe that's why
yes.
a lot of people don't
correct.
Do it, right? Yeah.
That's exactly correct. And I would say that, you know, everybody that has, you've seen, you know, this model in some form or fashion, but typically, again, the logistics is where they get hung up, right? They don't understand the logistics side, and they're relying on, you know, a warehouse hub and spoke model, which, you know, doesn't work for local food. It just doesn't fit into that model from a price point. And so being able to create a model that is, you know, asset light and using resources that are already on the ground working and utilizing them more efficiently, you know, is the formula that we have chosen. And there's a couple companies that we've, I'd like to say, kind of modeled, you know, ourselves off of through our research that are in other countries that are doing this and scaling very fast because they're using, you know, this type of logistical model. So, and I believe that, you know, you'll start to see more companies tackle the bigger problem of logistics and understand it so that you know, that this can, you know, really take off. But, and, you know, this is one of the fastest growing segments in both agriculture and food service and retail grocery. You know, you're not walking into your grocery store seeing a whole section of local food. Why? You know, you're not going into every restaurant seeing a list of all the farmers they're working with. Why?
Right.
You know, we should, and that can't happen, and it is happening, and we'll continue to, I think, accelerate as more companies like Farmed, you know, are established and prove the model works.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, Chris, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back after a quick break with more with Chris D'Amico from Farmed.
You listen to Heritage Radio Network because, let's face it, you have really good taste. You care about where your food comes from, who made it, and its impact on the planet. Whether you're looking for an inspiring interview with your favorite celebrity chef, the latest on Dave Arnold's Spinzall, or if you want to get down and dirty with some agricultural policy, we've got you covered. 10 years in and 13,000 episodes later, HRN continues to be the go-to media outlet for thoughtful eaters like you. And we never could have done it without the support of our listeners. Help Food Radio continue in the future and help us raise enough funds for the year to come. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate today. And since you've got such good taste, we have some very cool member gifts for you to choose from. Thanks for listening and for being a part of the HRN community.
We're back. This is Lisa Held. You're listening to the Farm Report. And I've been talking to Chris D'Amico, the owner of Farmed in Atlanta, Georgia. So before the break, Chris, we were talking a lot about the logistics of how Farmed works. And you started to talk a little bit about how more people are interested in local food and the benefits of local. I want to dig a little bit into that. So what is the messaging that you use most often to talk about the value of local?
Well, really, you know, three things. Direct, you know, buying anything direct, you know what you're getting. So getting food direct from farmers, you know, speaks for itself, especially when you're dealing with food. You know, transparency, I think, is the other big piece. You know, no warehouses means you get local food faster, fresher, safer, and you know where it's coming from. So that transparency is, I think, really key, especially as, you know, restaurants want to market that back to their end customers. And I think the other piece is really just the equitable nature of supporting local farmers and local businesses, you know, especially in the food community, that's really important. So those are the three things that we focus on mostly, and our mission is really to connect local food and community, or reconnect local food and community, and to create that transparent, sustainable, and more equitable food system.
Right. And what about if people are interested in what is actually happening on the local farm? So, for instance, you know, if they're interested in they want to only buy food for the restaurant that's organic, or, you know, they want to know about the practices the farmers are using, if they're building soil health, you know, things like that. Do you facilitate relationships where they can learn more about the individual farms and their actual practices as well?
Absolutely. And so, you know, again, we like to say we don't sell food, farmers do. So, you know, the farmers are able to build a profile to tell their story, and share what their farming practices are, you know, how they see the world of farming and what their unique, you know, methods and techniques are. But more importantly, they are also able to post their certificates, their Primus audits, their GAP certifications, their organic certifications. So, you know, your chefs can come on and see that information, learn about the farm, learn about the folks, you know, behind the farm, and then also see, you know, the different certifications and things that, you know, they've worked hard on to establish, you know, to better communicate the value that, you know, their food over maybe somebody else's food. So, yeah, that's really, I think, the key to it is, you know, giving farmers the ability to kind of take back control of their brand, mm-hmm. As opposed to that getting lost in the shuffle through all the middlemen who aren't going to be able to represent that farm's uniqueness or value-added proposition the way the actual farm can.
Right. And, you know, talking about the representation of farmers, that also makes me think about this thing that happens really often, which is that people say they're sourcing local and they're not, right? I mean,
yeah, we see it all the time.
Right? I mean, there's, you know, I hear from farmers that I talk to, you know, they'll say, oh, someone bought, you know, a crate of you know, greens from me once, and then I went back to that store 3 years later, and there's a picture of me on the wall. And it's like, what? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of this, like, what you're doing costs more. You know, it's hard to make these things work economically. How do you deal with that? You know, sort of like, there's no regulation in terms of, like, what you can and can't say when it comes to, like, sourcing locally.
Well, there's kind of a couple things. I think, you know, on the chef side, the desire is there.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to, you know, reliability and availability. And a lot of times, you know, sourcing local currently without a farm and helping coordinate it all, it's not reliable and it's not, you know, always available. So it becomes hard for them to work that into their menus and their food program. You know, one of the things that we're doing is, and you can see on our website, farm.com/certified.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a farm certified program where, you know, restaurants can sign up to be certified, and then we work with them, you know, to help them market that back to their customers. You know, it's an annual thing, so you have to, you know, you can't come into the platform and, you know, just get farm certified. We've got to come talk to you. We're going to look at, you know, how much you're buying and, and you know, are you really committed to that? Doesn't mean that they're going to support, you know, buy all their supply from farmed, obviously, right?
Right.
You know, we don't sell canned tomatoes and, you know, paper goods, things like that, like a typical broadliner would. But we can help them market that back to their customers through a farm certified program if, you know, that's what they really want to hang their hat on. And you know, that's something that we're working with a lot of restaurants here in Atlanta on and seems to be well-received in the market, as well as the consumers that are coming to those establishments that get to now go and see what that means. We lay that out on our website. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's an education, part education.
Right.
For the consumer, but more importantly, you know, it's being able to provide a scalable, reliable, flexible system for these food service establishments to do this, you know, at scale.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's really interesting that you say that there's plenty of demand from chefs. I mean, I see that, I guess, sometimes, but then it also is really surprising to me how few chefs are sourcing locally. And I mean, I guess part of what you're saying is, you know, because it's hard and there are all these barriers which you're trying to address. Do you ever get pushback from chefs just on cost? Like, you know, people who say, well, I would source locally, but it's just too expensive. Like, Sysco's always going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one of the big problems, right, is like, why would local be more expensive? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So, but that was, and that is kind of the thought is like, well, local is more expensive, but it's like, well, you know, why is that, right? It's the food that's closest to me, it should be cheaper. So by creating, you know, leveraging technology the way we are, you know, our food is not more expensive. In a lot of cases, it's less expensive.
Huh.
Because our overhead model and asset-light model, we're able to return the margin back to not only the farmer but as well as the buyer. Hmm. We have a lot of a lot of SKUs that are in some cases the cheapest you can get in the market. And by the way, it's local, coming right from a farm. So, you know, creating that value proposition is hard to pass up But that's, you know, that was the goal. Like, we have to, local has to be easily accessible, and, you know, I shouldn't be paying more for it. If anything, it should be cheaper.
Yeah.
And getting more value for the food that I'm buying. So that's really our take on the market and what we're proving, you know, over the last 23 months.
Yeah, that's incredible. It seems like if you can do that, that's sort of the, like...
That's the key.
Yeah, exactly. So what is next in terms of the future? Are you trying to just grow in terms of, you know, serving more restaurants, bringing on more farmers, or is the idea to eventually expand to other regions and like replicate the model in other places?
Yes. Yeah. So we have an expansion plan that we will start, you know, late 2020. You know, we're really focused on building out, you know, taking all of our, everything we've learned in the last 23 months, you know, we're building our playbook here in Metro Atlanta. So we will continue to penetrate this market, get the unit economics even better. And then, yeah, we are getting ready to raise our next round of funding. Mm. And then we will start, you know, kind of the second phase of this. We'll be, you know, really before we truly scale. But yes, that is a goal of ours. You know, we have 60 cities that we want to be in the next 5 years and, you know, fill that niche that's not being filled, which is, you know, local food at scale, you know, in a reliable and more, you know, flexible way than it currently exists.
Right. And would you expand outside of restaurants? Like, could this model apply to, for instance, you mentioned grocery stores don't have, you know, nearly as much local food as one would expect. Would this apply, or do you think, you know, it's a model that is specifically designed for restaurants?
You know, we're focused on the restaurant community right now, specifically the chef community, because we feel they're, you know, the tip of the spear. They really lead the way in food trends and, you know, what we would consider innovators in food space. But I will say that, you know, we do have half a dozen grocery stores, mostly independent, that are on the platform. And we do plan to really address that part of the market after we finish this next round of funding. And, yeah, I mean, the retail folks, it's a little bit of a different problem, little you know, different challenges, but yeah. Nonetheless, the grocery stores are in the same boat, right? They want to be able to source local food by store. And, you know, where you would walk into the grocery store and you'd have a section of 10 or 12 different farms that are within a couple hours of that grocery store. Mm-hmm. And being able to do that at scale across, you know, 10 or 20 grocery store units in the metro area is, you know, back to the whole volume game, right? It's hard for them too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is a big part of our roadmap. And, you know, I see a huge opportunity in that space just as well as food service. Because, again, they're both in the same boat. They want it. The demand's there. It's just, it's the service and the supply, you know, has to kind of be matched, right?
Right.
So, you've got to build that out. It takes time, and this is you know, an infrastructure play first, not a demand first play. And you have to get the infrastructure and the monetization correct first before you can really create the demand or, you know, go after the demand. But the demand is obviously there, and learning all of those lessons, you know, takes time, and building that playbook. You know, we want to get it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. Excited to see what's in store in the future for Farmed.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And obviously, we appreciate what y'all do. And, you know, anytime you want to update, just let me know. And we'll keep listening. And everybody, happy holidays.
Great. Thank you all so much for listening to the Farm Report on Heritage Radio Network. If you enjoyed the conversation, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and share it. I'll see you in January.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.